Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joe O, nights 6 to 10.
This hour on The Score brought to you by First American Bank, the largest privately held bank in Illinois. We do more for your money. With you another hour, and Julie DeCaro steps in. Got The Score. We'll check in with Ricky O'Donnell in about 15, 20 minutes. For right now, he always brings the heat on the Bulls the night before the draft lottery. We got a lot of people checking in about Linda Kohlmeyer, Herb. There's some confusion going on. Can you set us straight on this? There's a lot of people just talking about how much they love her. But some suggesting that her daughter does the weather in the morning.
Apparently, there is a person named Morgan Kohlmeyer.
Yes, I see her when I'm doing updates on the television.
The spelling's different, and so it's K-O-L-K-M-E-Y-E-R.
And she's married. Morgan. I don't know which.
And Linda Kohlmeyer is K-O-L-L-M-E-Y-E-R.
All right, we're on top of it here.
So I would think they're not related.
Marcus, let us know. Marcus Lashako is listening to The Score.
But also,
but when I did
no
see
Lotto
that
on WGN.
Oh,
sad.
You're not sad because you weren't watching it.
I mean, I'm here,
and you have two TVs 6 inches from your face.
I mean, usually they're on the game that's on that night,
right?
And so if the Cubs game or the Sox game was on WGN,
there was no changing world, Herb.
Yeah, there was no more
cutting back. So Linda wasn't getting it done. She wasn't pulling in the ratings. It's clear. You're sad?
Yeah, that the Lotto's not on. I mean, now it's all secretive now. I can't see if those Lotto numbers are real. It's all digitally. They just say, oh, here's the numbers.
What about at noon? Is she on at noon?
They don't televise Lotto anymore.
It's fixed. Fix is in. Just like tomorrow night when the Bulls get the 7 again. Or the 1.
Or the Lakers or the Knicks.
You would think that the NBA would be good with Knicks, Lakers, Bulls getting number one, landing Zion. Memphis, no. Atlanta would be awesome, though.
That'd be great.
So market size, you say no, but does market size really even matter in the NBA? I feel like that's something that we talk about a lot, but you can be a superstar in Oklahoma City.
Look at the four teams in the finals right now, or the conference finals.
LeBron was a star in Cleveland, right?
Toronto is the biggest city out of the four left.
Yeah. LeBron was good in Cleveland.
Yeah, that worked. Golden State, Oakland's not that huge.
But if they are looking at market size, see, Lakers, if you have any sort of a storyline every day, every national show is leading with it, or it's one of the main stories on the day. If Zion Williamson is wearing a Lakers jersey, that is massive for the NBA. Massive. And New York. So the conversation will turn. If the Knicks get the number one pick tomorrow night, they get Zion Williamson, then it's boom, Kevin Durant. Is he going there? That's what it's going to be immediately. Bulls? No. They don't have a max slot. Yeah. Let's get Otto Porter. Let's try to get to the 500 mark. Maybe we can sell a round of tickets for the playoffs. Maybe we can do that. All right, Michael Reinsdorf was on with Mullion-Haw this morning. A few different things that he said really stood out. And I've joked over the past year about how Jim Boylan's here because he's the face. He'll talk to the media, but he's really not the head coach. It's John Paxson and Doug Collins. And Reinsdorf addressed Collins' role with the team.
Doug is part of an organization to help the coaching staff and also help John Paxson and Gar and everyone upstairs. And Doug has been in basketball since the early 70s, and so he's seen it all. And he spends a lot of time with Jim talking about coaching and looking at different situations that come up. And Jim has really taken to Doug, and they spent a lot of time together.
You have to respect Doug Collins. He's accomplished a lot. He's a great coach, a great basketball mind. But, man, are they run like a mom-pop shop. We're comfortable with Doug. We like Doug. We know Doug. Let's bring Doug in. I don't have an issue with him being in the organization, but they need more. They need to join 2019 and the rest of the NBA. And the numbers would tell you that. They don't like three-point shots. They don't like assists. They don't like scoring, apparently, because that's what the numbers would tell you. All right, there's a story last week about what's going on with some Bulls fans that are considering getting rid of their season tickets. So Reinsdorf talked about the Bulls fan base.
I wanted our fans to be able to, you know, our season ticket holders, I wanted them to have their voice heard. And they asked me a lot of questions. I was able to give them some frank answers. And I think that that was kind of the start of the process. And then eventually what happened is we're talking to them, to different people, and, you know, they're coming to games, we invite them up to the suite to talk and kind of hang out. And it was just really just to get to know us as an organization, and hopefully they could see that we care as much as they do.
I think it's a good thing to reach out, to respond to emails from Bulls fans, the paying customers, to find out what's on their mind, because you can be insulated a little bit and everything's great in your building, everything is a consensus, so everybody believes that they're making the correct decisions. And if you're going to praise Tom Ricketts for going through the stands in every game, if you've been to a few Cubs games, you've probably run into Tom Ricketts or seen him shaking hands and saying hello and talking to people and asking a few questions. If you're going to praise Ricketts for that, you should probably do the same thing for Reinsdorf, but the perception is that it's college-level stuff. So the Cubs win a World Series, they change that narrative immediately. And everything's positive with Ricketts. But the Bulls are doing it, it's a bad thing. And I understand, because when we talk Bulls, it's mostly negative, mostly bad things happening. Sticking with Paxson and Foreman. Just the frustration. Can't land a top-tier free agent. Paxson is saying, well, we just want to be relevant again. Okay, good. Because you are completely irrelevant. It's just funny when one team does the same thing, or what appears to be the same thing, it's viewed completely differently. I don't think it's a bad thing to get the feedback of your fans, but it's also a bit of a bad look right now. And like every interview with Paxson, it reaches a point when he brings up Derrick Rose, and it got there this morning with Reinsdorf.
That team that was competing with Miami at the beginning of the decade, that, you know, we had the best record in the league 2 years in a row. And I'm not saying we would have won championships, but we certainly would have competed. We had the best record in the league 2 years in a row, and we drafted Jimmy Butler.
Hey, Herb, remember how long ago that injury was?
2012.
Yeah, correct.
I was still in college.
7 years ago. They're still in what organization do you deal? A superstar goes down to a catastrophic injury, and sometimes players do come back from this. But in what sport do you get a pass for 10 years? How long are they going to keep doing this? Oh, Rose went down and he never recovered. You get a decade. What is that? Well, speaking of what is that, they love to believe in Garpax.
I look at the total picture and I look at the circumstances, and I just believe that they're the right people for this job. You can't control injuries, and I really do believe that if you factor in the Derrick Rose injury, we've built championship-caliber teams. They've built championship-caliber teams.
For the most part, you can't control injuries. But what if it's the same team and the same trainers, the same players getting hurt again and again and again? Even if you swap out the players, you still have some of the injuries. And it doesn't seem like it's as common with teams around the league. Maybe you can control them. And the anti-Tibbs people at the time
thought he was riding Rose too much. Do you remember during that MVP season how many injuries he would have? It was every single day. And then subsequent seasons, too. It's constant. So it's all a coincidence? It's hard to get through an NBA season. And the league has helped out a little bit. Some of the extra off days in the schedule. But just, it's been now another gear.
I mean, I think this whole run of this team. It's a bunch of people who have not deserved their jobs protecting a bunch of people who don't deserve their jobs. Like, what has Michael Reinsdorf done other than be Jaren Reinsdorf's son?
How are you being judged?
Yeah.
How are you being judged?
And he's like, oh, those two are doing great. And then John Paxson and Gar Foreman look at the coach who didn't earn his job, give him an extension, and say he's doing great also. It's just a cycle of bums.
If you're judged by winning, if you're judged by wins and losses, like this is supposed to be, they shouldn't be there. It shouldn't. How many coaches are you going to give John Paxson? Well, it's on the coach. It's on the coach. It's on the coach. It's never on the guy that's supposed to land the star player.
They had injuries, Joe.
Seven years ago. It's every year. So during this rebuild, during this process, okay, great. Jimmy Butler traded. This is going to get that rebuild going. Where are you? What's the core? I hear the same names again and again, but I haven't seen those guys on the court together, so I don't know if they even have a core. And this past season, I think we all learned that Chris Dunn is not part of the plan. Okay, so now you're moving on from him finally. Fine. Like, what have they accomplished? It really feels to me, Herbie, like what they want to accomplish. They may say the right things publicly, but what they really want, as they decide to pass on getting involved in free agency for the top players when other teams are trying to free up those max slots, what they really want is just to be in the mix. Can we get the playoffs? Can we get those playoff tickets sold? And then we'll be relevant enough and more people are showing up. It isn't an embarrassment right now. And Reinsdorf actually joked about it this morning that nobody even wants to sit with him in the suite. He's obviously just kidding around because they can't get people to show up for this team right now. So I think they just want to be relevant. I mean, Paxson has said, we are irrelevant. We need to be relevant first. Sure, winning titles would be nice. Being a one or two seed would be nice. But I think right now they just really want to get into the postseason.
Here's the thing, though. If their goal is just to be relevant, look, what, 3 years ago, you were in the playoffs 3 years ago. Is that what you want, to be back in that same spot, just barely relevant because you're in the playoffs when really, I mean, you knew you weren't that good of a team anyway because you just played in the East, so you kind of defaulted your way into the playoffs?
Well,
is that what they want, to get back there? Because if so, what was the point of all this?
Well, Studs, what message did the front office, the same front office, send that year? Younger, more athletic. Rondo, Wade. Like,
exactly.
That's they're telling us that that's what they want. They just want to get in. And they got in with Fred Hoiberg, but he was the worst coach in the world, too. And it's always the coach's fault. Okay, now we'll go with the nice guy. Now we'll go with the hard ass. Now we'll flip it again. And how far into this contract is Boylan going to last? Probably not too far. Because Paxson's going to say, well, it's on the coach again. Got to get rid of this coach. He's not developing.
This time, too, it's like, this was your guy. Like, you brought him from inside the organization. You didn't go out and hire some...
Hoiberg was their guy, too. Gar had him pegged for how many years?
I guess that's true. You're right about that. Yeah. But, I mean, this one is, I think, even more so because he came from inside the organization. It was an internal hire rather than going out and getting someone who, yeah, you'd pegged as your guy. But this is like, hey, look, we're telling you, this is the guy.
Yeah.
Trust us, he's the guy. And just pushing it on everyone, even though they seem to be the only ones that believe in him.
And then he'll be fired on Christmas Eve, coming up one of these years. More Bulls conversation next with Ricky O'Donnell, the Joe O Show on the Score.
I look at the total picture, and I look at the circumstances, and I just believe that they're the right people for this job. You can't control injuries, and I really do believe that if you factor in the Derrick Rose injury, we've built championship caliber teams. They built championship caliber teams.
Always factor in that Derrick Rose injury 7 years later. Joe Ostrowski with you on 670 The Score. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Don't miss your chance to watch Big Ten football at Ryan Field this fall. The number 17 Northwestern Wildcats host Ohio State, Iowa, and more. Season tickets on sale now at NUSports.com. You know, after hearing Michael Reinsdorf this morning on The Score, I was ready for another Ricky O'Donnell tweet about firing John Paxson into the sun. And he joins me on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Ricky O'Donnell covers the NBA and college basketball for SB Nation. He's on Twitter at SBN_Ricky. What's up, Ricky?
What's going on?
Not too much. The night before, right? The night before the draft lottery, as the Bulls hope for some luck, but they say that is not the strategy that they are rolling with. I feel your frustrations over the years of covering this team. What are you hoping happens tomorrow?
They need to get the number one pick. If they get Zion Williamson, I think pretty much all is forgiven. At least the last 2 years, he would immediately change both the short-term outlook and the long-term outlook of the team. I expect him to peak early, too. So I think that, you know, when Zion enters the league, he won't be one of the best players in the NBA right away, but he's going to be really, really good. I think that it would immediately give the Bulls an alpha dog, you know, lead scorer, a great defensive player with tremendous versatility, which is really the name of the game in today's NBA. And it would change everything if the Bulls do get that number one pick in Zion Williamson.
Yeah, Ricky, you're one of the few that covers both college and the NBA, so you'll be a busy man leading up to the NBA draft. When talking about Zion, I mean, have you come up with a comp, and you said that you expect him to peak early? I mean, what are we talking about in the rookie season?
Yeah, my craziest Zion comp is Giannis with strength instead of length. I just think they score from similar parts on the floor. They're both such unique players. There's no one with Giannis's length. There's no one as strong as Zion Williamson. 285 pounds is what he weighed in at the beginning of the season for Duke. That would have made him the second heaviest player in the NBA right away behind Boban, who's 7'3". Zion is, of course, 6'6". There really is no historical precedent for Zion Williamson, and that was the case when we were watching him as a recruit. I went out to Colorado Springs in 2017 to write a profile of him at USA Basketball Camp, and even then, none of the recruiting analysts knew what to make of him because no one had really seen someone with his athleticism, his strength, his scoring touch around the basket. What we didn't know then was that he's such a smart two-way player, that he's so strong with the ball, is a lead ball handler. So I think that, you know, while Zion was already sort of a celebrity before he even entered Duke, his one season of college basketball made him, to me, arguably the strongest number one overall pick of the decade in the NBA draft.
How deep is this draft for the lottery teams?
Not very deep. I would say that I've never seen a draft with a bigger gap between the first and second pick. I don't want to say that Zion's going to be the only good player out of this draft, because if you just look at the recent history of the draft, you can find all-stars all over. There might be an all-star in the second round available when the Bulls pick around 37 with Memphis's second rounder. But with that being said, I think that, you know, if the Bulls land at 2, 3, 4, they shouldn't expect to find a savior. I like Ja Morant. I know a lot of people in this city like Ja Morant. Given the Bulls' need at point guard, I think that they would select him if they were to get the second pick. But I would not expect him to immediately change the short-term outlook of the team. I think that he's going to have a huge jump going from the Ohio Valley to the NBA. I like Jarrett Culver a lot, who led Texas Tech, of course, to the national championship game this year. To me, the most important thing in the NBA right now is versatility, two-way versatility. I think that a player like Jarrett Culver provides that. But even someone like that, I think you're looking at, you know, a solid NBA starter, but not someone who's going to just change the team overnight. If the Bulls really want to change the team, they need to get Zion in the first pick.
Massive gap from 1 to 2. You know, during the NCAA tournament, it seemed to change. Most Bulls fans heard about Ja Morant, and in a lot of the mocks, he was number 2, number 3 throughout most of the year. And at that time, Barrett was in that conversation as well. But then things flipped after people saw a couple of games out of Ja Morant. And you're saying just that wide gap between 1 and 2. So when does it become a failure, depending on the pick that the Bulls end up landing tomorrow night? If they get a 4, is the tank a failure?
Well, the Bulls are already a massive failure by any reasonable standard, in my opinion. I mean, you've had John Paxson and Gar Forman just ruining what should be one of the proudest franchises in all of sports for the last 15 years. But in terms of this particular draft, I don't think that Bulls fans should immediately write off the selection is a failure, you know, if they end up picking 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, which I think is their floor for tomorrow night.
Yep.
There's good players that can be drafted at any slot in the NBA draft. I mean, look at Nikola Jokic, clearly one of the 5 or 10 best players in the NBA right now. He was a second rounder. Kawhi was around 15. I think Giannis was 16. So, you know, you can't think it's a catastrophe if the Bulls do get, you know, the 5th, 6th, or 7th pick in this draft. I think that there will be good players on the board. They just got to find the right ones. They've done pretty well. We have to give them credit for their last 2 picks with Wendell Carter Jr., with Lauri Markkanen. What they really need now is a perimeter star so everyone else sort of falls into place.
Outside of those top 2 guys, do you have a personal favorite?
Yeah, I'll give you a couple names. I love Brandon Clark. I don't think he's a fit for the Bulls, unfortunately, because he's a front court player. If the Bulls were to draft a guard last year, you could play Markkanen as a stretch 5 and then Clark would have been a tremendous fit. He's a really bouncy forward, incredible defensive player, super efficient on offense. I think he's going to be a big steal. Another frontcourt player I like is Bol Bol, who no one even saw this year. I saw him as a recruit on the Nike circuit a couple of years ago. 7'3", the longest player, and in my opinion, the best shooter in this draft. And I like Culver as well. If the Bulls end up around 4 or 5, I would like them to take Jarrett Culver. I think he just brings a lot of versatility. He could guard multiple positions. He could play on or off the ball offensively. Terrific finisher at the rim. Can run a pick and roll. Very smart cutter. I like Jarrett Culver a lot for the Bulls if they don't end up hitting the lottery.
Any worries about some of the offensive issues that we saw in some tournament games with Culver?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I mean, he was locked down in the national championship game by DeAndre Hunter, who will be another option for the Bulls. He's a surefire top 10 pick. Hunter, an unbelievable point of attack defender, but NBA defense is more about help and recover. I'm not totally sold on DeAndre Hunter, even though I do think he's a high floor player, maybe similar to Mikal Bridges, who was taken with the 10th pick by Phoenix in last year's draft. If the Bulls are looking for a deep sleeper, even someone like Grant Williams from Tennessee, who is really good, there's going to be solid players all over this draft. The Bulls just need to find someone on the perimeter and someone who can really help them move the needle forward over these next couple seasons.
We're hearing some wild rumors, like LeBron being traded to Philly, Ben Simmons going out to L.A., of course, the conversation of Kevin Durant becoming a Knick, and that we'll hear all about that, especially if the Knicks land that number one selection tomorrow night. What is your feeling? What do you think is going to happen this offseason that is just crazy? Because something happens every year in this league.
Especially the last few years have just sort of established the precedent of player movement in the NBA over the summer. I think that this will be the craziest offseason in NBA history. Anthony Davis is definitely changing teams. If you pay attention to the rumor mill, it seems like Kevin Durant is definitely changing teams as well. That'll only be the tip of the iceberg. Who knows what happens with Kawhi Leonard, who has established himself as one of the 5 best players in the NBA during these playoffs, I think. He could easily go to the Clippers if the Raptors lose this Eastern Conference Finals series. Philly has a couple big decisions to make with Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris, who will both be looking for max contracts. Will the Warriors max out Klay Thompson, or could he change teams? Maybe he goes to the Lakers, and who knows what to make of Kyrie Irving. I think he's, you know, arguably the biggest wild card in the entire league, given his play and his actions this year in Boston. I think that he could change teams too. So this is the way the NBA works. If you're in the league for more than 7 years, the players have all the power. I think it's a great thing. I know some fans might not like to see it, but to me, that's why it makes this the most exciting league in the world to cover on a day-to-day basis.
And the Bulls won't be involved in any of that.
Absolutely not.
By choice, even though they failed again and again in free agency, with Ricky O'Donnell of SB Nation right here on Sports Radio 670, The Score. All right, Ricky, Western Conference Finals starts tomorrow. Warriors-Blazers, how's this going to play out?
I think the Warriors will smoke them. Even without Kevin Durant, Golden State still has, what, 4 of the 6 best players in the series. If Durant does return, Even if he doesn't return, I think Golden State's going to walk in that series. Portland, what a terrific run they've had in the playoffs so far, just beating Denver in that Game 7. Clearly a successful season for the Trailblazers. with Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. And in the East, I mean, Toronto-Milwaukee, I think, is a coin flip. I'd give a slight edge to the Bucks, but that's going to be a tremendous series.
Yeah, it feels like that one's going all the way to seven. Does the Durant injury for the finals really even matter that much?
I think it matters for Kevin Durant. If the Warriors win the finals without Kevin Durant, it's just going to make him look even worse, and it's going to make him so much more insecure. I think you should keep your eyes glued to his Instagram page because he's going to be arguing with teenagers all summer over his self-worth. It's a shame because Durant's probably established himself as the best player on the planet this year, basically an unstoppable scorer at 6'11", hits efficiently from all three levels. He's unbelievable, but you know, when the Warriors' old guard is playing within that system, it sort of empowers Steph Curry a little bit more. I think that Steph Curry, if he wanted to, could flirt with averaging 40 points a game, like similar to what James Harden did this year. I would expect the Warriors to coast by Portland in the Western Conference Finals, and we'll see what happens in the finals, because I think with both Toronto and Milwaukee, obviously, neither of those teams have been to this stage before. Both of them have a lot of 3-and-D guys. I think that that is sort of the mold for today's NBA. They both have a superstar with Kawhi and Giannis. It could get interesting, but I would still instill the Warriors as the heavy favorite in the playoffs.
And the best thing for the league would probably be a showdown with KD, Steph on one side, Giannis on the other, right?
Yeah, I think absolutely, especially if you want to sort of fill that power vacuum that LeBron is leaving a little bit at the end of his career. Giannis seems like the natural guy to elevate, to take that spot. I think Giannis is most likely going to win the MVP this year. Milwaukee, what a performance in the second round against Boston, losing the first game and then taking four straight. Giannis is playing out of his mind. Chris Middleton's one of the most underrated players in the league. Eric Bledsoe is playing great after a nightmare season last year for Milwaukee. So I think the Bucks are totally legit. You know, you don't think of them as the type of team that has that high-caliber star power behind Giannis. But what they do have is a bunch of guys who play defense, a bunch of guys who shoot threes, a really smart coach. I think the Bucks are totally legit. I also think the Raptors are legit. So if you're looking for competitive play throughout the rest of the NBA playoffs, the Eastern Conference Finals are going to be really, really fun.
All right, Ricky, let's do it again before we get to the NBA draft, all right?
Sounds good.
Ricky O'Donnell, SBNation.com. You can find his work. Covers the NBA and college hoops, so you should be paying attention to what he's saying. A lot of times these NBA guys fly in this time of year and become draft experts, but Ricky was breaking down their stuff all season long. On Twitter, at SBN_Ricky. Again, SBNation.com. This hour on The Score brought to you by the Illinois Conservation Police Training Program. Are you looking for a rewarding career in law enforcement and love the outdoors? The Illinois Conservation Police will be holding testing for their next class of recruits in early June. To apply or for more information, visit conservationpolice.illinois.gov. I hadn't heard it put that way, just about the gap between one and two. Because all of a sudden, after the NCAA tournament and seeing a couple of games, when it was the Ja Morant show, all of a sudden, so many people became okay. All right, you know what? If you don't get Zion, it's okay because you're going to have Ja Morant, and the Bulls' big need is the point guard anyways. So really, it's a perfect fit. So now I'm good with one or two. And before that, it was all about one, tanking for Zion Williamson. The biggest gap that he's seen, and then the comp. Giannis with strength. Sign me up. Giannis with strength. Yeah, I'd be okay with that. Even though this front office would look like genius. See, we told you. We told you. I can't wait. Can't wait for tomorrow night. I mean, this is where we are. The most exciting point of the bull season is waiting for the ping pongs. And Herb wants Linda Kohlmeyer out there in her green dress for the Illinois Lottery, even though she doesn't do it anymore. I think she's retired.
You could bring her out of retirement.
Nobody nationally would know who she is if she was out there with the pick three, the pick four, the little lotto.
Be much better than what they're going to do tomorrow with Adam Silver.
Yeah, I do wish that that was live. That and, should be live.
And the accounting firm that I don't care about.
Yeah, I know.
They're seeing that it's right.
It's okay. A TV show. So, is it 7:30 tomorrow? Do you guys happen to know? And is it before the playoff game? I think that's what it is. Either way.
Yes, 7:30 Central Time.
Okay.
21 hours, 53 minutes, 22 seconds.
Okay. And they're going to drag it out probably like a half hour or something. Like, when we come back, we'll find out who is the number one pick. Where's Zion Williamson going?
Who was the kid that was lucky that they used to bring in all the time?
Oh, Dan Gilbert's son?
Yeah, there it is.
I actually saw some of the reps. Now, you know who's going for the Bulls, right?
Hoe Grant?
What is wrong with you?
That's his name, Hoe Grant, right? Isn't he going?
Yes. Oh, because his brother, yeah, is Harvey?
Yes.
H-A? Did he have H-A or was it just H for Harvey on the jersey?
I'm not sure. I just think they had Grants on their names.
Okay. Here are the full list of representatives. I'll see if anybody's interesting. Okay, the Knicks are sending Patrick Ewing. That's fun.
So why are they sending Georgetown's head coach?
So you have a rep that's sitting there at the desk. Yeah, just ignore him. That's the best thing to do. I don't know.
Don't encourage it.
How's your girlfriend not broken up with you at this point? I don't know. I need to talk to her. So you have a rep that's sitting at the table and then everybody's waiting for their awkward reaction. It'd be great if Horace just threw something. He got really mad.
No matter what the pick is.
Yes, no matter what. So you have a rep out there, and then you have a rep in the back, too. It is somebody different. So Nick Gilbert is there again for the Cavs. It worked once for LeBron, right? And he had the bow tie. DeAndre Ayton for the Suns. And the Hawks, I don't know who that is. One of the owners. Alvin Gentry, the head coach for New Orleans.
Jimmy Gertz, you know who that is?
Where?
For the Hawks. And that former
ownership group?
Yeah, isn't she like that actress from the 80s?
She owns the Hawks?
Ooh, I think she's
from
married.
From where?
I forgot what movie she was in.
Just making stuff up.
And all that show that was still standing. I forgot what it was called. It was on CBS. I think that's the same Jamie
Gertz. Is that her? She's a part owner of the Hawks?
I think so.
She's born in Chicago. She in The Lost Boys?
Yeah, Lost Boys, Crossroads, Less Than Zero.
You never saw any of that stuff.
No, I'm reading off Wikipedia.
Her husband owns the Hawks.
She is part owner?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, her and her husband, part owners.
Well, that's great. I can't wait for the interview. Doris Burke going to be there? Who's going to be doing the interview? Oh, Kyle Kuzma will be there for the Lakers. Lovely. Watch them get it. Lonzo Mourning for the Heat. And that's it. Horace Grant is one of the biggest names that's going to be there. Lonzo Mourning, Horace Grant, Patrick Ewing. So the problem, man, I hope they can get lucky. That would be awesome. Best part of the Bulls season, all about that 12.5%. Joe Ostrowski with you. Coming up next, Julie DeCaro comes in for Crosstalk. You've got the score.
Hall of Famer Whitey Ford now on the field, pleading with the crowd for some kind of sanity.
Uh-oh, and a barrage of pretzels now knocking Whitey unconscious.
Wow, this is a black day for baseball.
Ed Farmer running the music tonight. Yeah. Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio.
You got a problem with Chicago, Joe?
No, but Ed loved the Chicago music. Yes. No, there are no issues at all. Just calm down, studs. I'm sure you saw him in concert. It was great.
I actually did see them.
Now, of course, you go to a lot of concerts, I figured.
My parents took me. I was like 13. I barely remember it. The State Fair, the Illinois State Fair in Springfield.
I should have known that one.
My dad was, he was going to be a music major at DePaul, and he wound up majoring in English, but he was friends with all these guys in college. They all went to DePaul.
Everything I've heard is that they're really cool guys.
I mean, my dad's pretty cool, so
go. It fits in. That's Julie DeCaro. Her show starts at 10 o'clock right here on 670 The Score. I feel like we never do this transition, or you aren't on much on Mondays, because usually we have shows later in the week where the Cubs have day games, because they usually don't have Monday day games. Not a lot of Monday off days. You've been here for hours, though. Did you guys record another podcast?
No, I didn't get invited this week.
Oh!
I didn't get invited this
week.
Wow,
you're executive producer.
I I'm one of the few people here who has read the books, and I'm just saying I didn't get an invite this week. That's all I have to say.
Do you know who was doing the podcast?
I know exactly who it was because I ran into them in the lobby.
Well, they were leaving. You're walking in.
I was walking in.
Wait, the whole group or just one of them?
Several of them.
Okay, so I obviously Tony because, superstar EP now. The superstar.
Chris Dickens was there.
Oh, no, you did not get the bump for Chris Dickens.
Ken Davis was there.
He doesn't work here.
I know. And I'm just saying, I had lots of thoughts about last night's show. I had a lot of things ready to say.
You just made an enemy for life.
Wow. I mean, that's not right.
Oh, maybe because you've read the book and they're like, they want to discriminate against you because you read the book.
Well,
and Adam, too.
They're probably discriminating against me for being smarter than
everyone else. Here's the issue with that. Like, I don't think you would be not invited because you read the books, because they're past the books. So the books are irrelevant at this point, other than the fact they ran out of source material and the show instantly went downhill.
But Julie's a host here, and people that are not hosts and people that don't work here are being invited to
I hope Tony Gill's listening to this. I hope he is.
Oh, I'll let him know.
Yeah.
Either way. Wow.
I know.
What are you thinking?
Was it an awkward interaction?
I mean, it was usually like
Did they say what they were doing?
Oh, yeah. They're all walking. I mean, it was pretty obvious what they were doing. And I said, thanks for inviting me to be on the show. And Tony's like, well, you can be on next week. Tony, it just rolls off Tony's back. He's like a duck. He doesn't absorb anything, I say to him.
I can actually see that. Yeah.
Yeah. He
was on Twitter just go.
He was unhappy.
Let's say going off. Yes, he was unhappy about Game of Thrones. And then on Saturday, he was tweeting about how he couldn't believe radio stations weren't talking about the NBA game from Friday night. I'm like, so you think the baseball show should be talking about NBA games? Conference semifinal
Tony
games?
Tony thinks everything should be NBA games.
I know. That's the thing.
He's not into baseball.
Or football.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't know Gale Sayers, you're probably not into
Brian Piccolo.
Unbelievable. So you've been here for hours, so you have to skip Raw is War, right?
Is that what's on right now?
I don't know. It's Monday.
It's Raw.
Yeah. Whatever.
What is it? Raw is War? I don't know what that is.
That's the last time. That's what it was the last time I watched.
Oh, no, it's Raw. Just Monday Night Raw.
Just Raw.
Yeah, I haven't seen it tonight. I usually have it on when I'm in here or I try to watch it, but tonight I missed the whole thing. So
I don't know why I was thinking about that. I do know why. There's some website. I saw Vince McMahon's story earlier today.
No.
Those are usually bad.
They're terrible.
And it made me think about the tweet thread that I saw about Vince McMahon about a couple of weeks ago. And I was shocked to hear that you did not see this.
I didn't.
All right. There was this guy. And he just shared all these Vince McMahon stories from books or from stories that have been told in different podcasts from former wrestlers, stuff like that. And you didn't hear about any of this?
I didn't.
Okay. Here's one. Vince hates sneezing. When someone sneezes, he yells at them and tells them to control themselves. On the rare occasion Vince sneezes, he angrily mutters to himself and loses focus for a few minutes.
Wow.
That was according to Paul Heyman.
That's pretty amazing. These all from Paul Heyman?
No, they're from different places. Vince once raced former WWE writer Court Bauer on an open highway. Vince boxed in Court so that Court was heading straight for road construction. Court had to slam on the brakes to avoid an accident. Vince sped off, having won the race by almost killing a guy.
Wow. That sounds very on brand for Vince.
So, yeah, you're really into wrestling, so you know more of these backstories. Is he just known as the worst?
Yeah, he's the complete lunatic.
Okay.
I mean, and he's like the worst boss. He's a total lunatic. There's a great show on Vice right now called The Dark Side of the Ring. And it's wrestlers telling stories about like guys who got murdered, guys who, you know, all kinds of stuff. Like they did one on Bret Hart and the Montreal Screwjob and all this kind of stuff. And one of the best stories.
That's what I think of when I hear Vince. Yeah.
One of the best stories ever is apparently Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels got into a fight in the locker room. And Shawn Michaels comes in and they said he thought he had a possum in his hand, but it was actually a bunch of Bret Hart's hair. At which point he throws it on the table and yells, "This is an unsafe working environment," and then storms out. That's one of my favorite stories ever. Not the fact they got into a fight and he ripped his hair out, but the fact that he used that as proof that it was an unsafe work environment.
When I hear Vince McMahon, the first thing I just think of is Bret Hart screwed Bret Hart.
Yes. Oh, and the story behind it's just amazing.
Yes, the documentaries. Here's one. Vince, as a prank, had real police arrest Jonathan Coachman for running a betting pool at work. Coach said when the cop Carr finally turned around and brought him back to WWE headquarters. He openly wept in relief and rage.
Wow.
It's unbelievable.
Well, you saw John Oliver take him apart, right? Before WrestleMania.
Yes.
That was pretty good, too.
He'll take anybody apart.
Yeah.
He's just, he's a genius at that stuff. Oh, man. Some of this is not safe for air. What do you have going on the show tonight?
I don't know. Don't put any pressure on me. I'll figure it out
pressure.
As we get going.
Okay.
Darnell Mayberry is going to be here to talk about the draft, the lottery draft tomorrow night. We'll talk about that.
Like the number one issue going on.
Yes.
Number one story.
Number one story. Evan Altman's going to be here later. We're going to talk about we were talking about Carl Ravitch's earlier telling the guys over at the other station that the Cubs are happier, or the Cubs feel like they're at their best when Javi's bouncing around the infield and Addison Russell is playing shortstop, which just makes zero sense to me. So I know we're going to talk about that.
Why does it make zero sense? I was trying to come up with a reason that it would.
Well, here's my thing.
Truthful.
Are we assuming Addison Russell is back to 2016 form, first of all? Because this Addison Russell is not helping anybody.
He did say once he, Ravitch did say once he's playing well enough, they would like to have him at shortstop most days.
I also think that Javi has a much more accurate arm. I think their range is about the same, but I feel like Addison Russell struggles with just easy routine throws.
He did last year. Last year. He wasn't as accurate.
And not only that, like you and I were saying during the break, Javi's the star. Why does the star play the utility role?
What does Javi want? Would he put up a fight? So when they brought Russell up, what was the long-term plan? Now, we're five games in, and he got two starts. He had a game
Thank God they didn't start him on Mother's Day, which was a real concern.
Yeah, I know. A game he did not play, and then two games he came in later in the game. I don't think starting him two out of five games is the plan at all. Because why would you go through all of this mess? Right?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. I mean,
we're just talking about the baseball.
Were they surprised by the reaction he got? Was he surprised by it? I mean, because he did get cheered in Iowa. So I wonder.
And in Arizona.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was surprised by it. Were you?
Yes.
I was actually pretty shocked. And then it continued this weekend, too.
And now I've heard it's just quiet when he goes up, that there's not really booing, but people just don't do anything.
But how many times this weekend, especially since he's been a late-game offensive replacement, so he's been in some big spots in a bunch of these games, he was in a position to win the game with one swing of the bat.
Yep.
And I talked to a few people, and I'm one of them. I was hoping that he was out.
A lot of people had their preferred, you know, way the Cubs would win the game. Like,
anybody but Russell.
Mine was like Addison just stands there and Javi steals home. You know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff. A lot of people had opinions.
I know. Yeah, it's we're a weekend. It is not going away. This story is different for good reason. Producing tonight, want to thank Herb Lawrence, Adam Studzinski, and then coming on the show, we had Ricky O'Donnell, Matt Hoover from Takeathon.com, and also Jared Willis. Join me. The podcast will be up on 670thescore.com. But don't go anywhere. Julie Carroll's next on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Good night.